Thanks, David, and all the others who read. Do you ever wonder what it would be like to be, have been alive or around at one of the kind of key groundbreaking discoveries or inventions of humanity? Maybe the invention of electricity or fire. Well, in 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers, for the first time ever, successfully managed to get their flying machine off the ground. For the first time in the history of humankind, man had flown, and more importantly, had survived the flight. So in their excitement, they wrote home to their sister, Catherine, and they telegraphed her. They said that we've actually flown 120 feet, we'll be home for Christmas. And Catherine took the telegram, she hurried to the editor of the local newspaper, and she showed it to him. And he glanced at it and it said, such good news that the boys will be home for Christmas. Like, he completely missed the point. The news was so unexpected that it had just gone over his head completely. You may have heard the news of the first Christmas before. And we heard that same news delivered to five different individuals and groups this evening. To Isaiah, 750 years before it happened. To Mary and Joseph. To the shepherds. To Herod. All of them received unexpected, incredible news, that news that was genuinely hard to believe. And all of them did something about it. All of them responded in one way or another. But what about you? Is this news so unexpected that you've missed it completely? That it's gone over your head until now? Because the message of Christmas isn't just a nice fairy story. It's not just something that's nice for kids to do in a nativity play. It's news for us to respond to. And so we're going to take a few minutes tonight just to tease out of one of those stories, that good news, that news to respond to. We're going to look at Mary's story. God thought it was such good news, so important, that he didn't want us to be in any doubt of the news. He wanted to make sure that people understood what was going on. Do you remember what the angel Gabriel told her? Don't worry if you can't remember it. It's going to appear on screen. He said, do not be afraid. Mary, you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. And I just want to pull three unexpected headlines from his words that point us to why this news is so good that we don't want to miss out. First headline, the baby born is God. The angel tells Mary that a son will be called the Son of the Most High. That's God. And he's called that not because he's like half God, half human, like some of the Greek heroes thought they were. No, this is going to be a human child, as human as you and I are human. And yet he is going to be fully God. That's what Mary's told, which is amazing. Like a child who is also God. The God who created, invented babies, is now a baby himself. The eternal Son who defined the laws of physics, who paints each sunset and sunrise, who stitched the DNA of every single organism and species on this planet. The one who created humanity out of the dust and breathed air into their lungs, now is dependent on lungs himself and ordinary physical stuff like oxygen. The one who made everything depends on somebody else to change his nappy and to be burped. The eternal God would need soothing and comforting. God the Son as a human being. It's incredible. And it's not at all what we'd expect God to do, is it? Like, maybe we think that if there is a God, he must not care that much about us. Now, why would he care about us? Small people on a tiny speck in the cosmos. Maybe you look around at this world and you think the evidence points to the fact that God doesn't care about us. He must not be that bothered. He must not care that we're hurting. He must not care that I'm hurting. Maybe doesn't care that the world's a mess, that I'm a mess. But I've got unexpected news for you. Remember what Gabriel told Joseph? He told him that the child was to be called Emmanuel. And they didn't get confused and give Jesus the wrong name in the end. Emmanuel means God with us. And that's exactly who Jesus is. And I think that means something wonderful for us. It means that God knows exactly what it's like to be us. God isn't distant. He's not unmoved by the world's problems or yours. No, he knows them intimately. A few years ago on Twitter, one parent shared a letter that a seven-year-old son had written. He was becoming, let's call it a Santa skeptic, you would say. And he wrote this. Dear Santa, I'm only doing this for class. I know your naughty list is empty, and your good list is empty, and your life is empty. You don't know the troubles I've had in my life. Goodbye, love. I'm not telling you my name. The guy sounds absolutely hilarious. The troubles that he's had in his life, apparently his little brother is what he was talking to. God is not like this little kid's idea of Santa. He does know the troubles you've had in your life. He knows them. This is the God who came to be with us, not just to watch us from on high, but to walk in our shoes. He knows exactly what it's like to grow up, to be a child, to be a teenager, an early adult. He knows the pressure of family expectations. He knows the heartbreak of losing loved ones to illness. He knows exactly what it's like to be lonely and sad and overwhelmed, because he's been there. And he doesn't know those things in a kind of detached, he looks it up in a book somewhere, or he knows it just because he's God somewhere, or he saw a Netflix special about bereavement and loneliness. No, he knows it because he's lived it. It's happened to him too. He's been there. The God of the Bible is the God who was born as an everyday person like you and I. And that's why the good news came to everyday people like the shepherds that first Christmas. Because this news is for everyday people like you and I. That's our first headline. The first bit of good news, the baby born is God. Second headline, the baby born is a king. What's the next thing that angel said to Mary? He said he's going to be given the throne of his father David and will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. To give you a bit of context, David was like the best king of Israel ever. Not perfect by any means, but he was seen as like the benchmark of what a king was meant to be. And David was promised a descendant who would rule forever. And Jesus is that king. He was born to rule. And we've already seen that that wasn't good news for everybody. Herod, for a start, he was having none of it. He was a reigning king at the time. And obviously for him, being told basically you're getting replaced, that's not exactly going to make him happy. That's not the news you want to hear. Herod wanted Jesus out of the way. He wanted to stay in charge. And we're the same. I mean, what's your gut instinct if I tell you that Jesus didn't come to be some kind of king somewhere back then, but he came to be your king today? And unlike our monarchy, he didn't come to be a sweet ceremonial representative. It means he's in charge. It means what he says goes in every area of life. I can imagine probably your instinct would be to protest in your heart. I don't want that to happen. We don't want people calling the shots in our lives. We find it hard enough that one day that we have to endure it from our big sister when they get bossy at Christmas. Like, we don't want people telling us what to do. And in some ways, that's understandable, isn't it? Like, in history and in the present, we've got so many examples of bad leaders who use their power for harm. Some for evil, just like Herod, who kill or lie or manipulate, or some who just waste their power. And so much so that we find it hard to imagine anybody ruling us, ruling over us, would be a good thing. Even if that person was Jesus himself, God himself. And that's the way it's always been. If we go back to the start of the Bible, it tells us that right from the start, humanity has always been saying, no way, God, we'll decide for ourselves. I wonder, can you see that in yourself now? All of us are like that. God insists on being king for our good, and we constantly insist on pushing him out. I think that's part of the reason that we're far more comfortable thinking of Jesus as a baby than hearing his words and seeing what he does as an adult. No, baby Jesus doesn't make many demands of me. Now, baby Jesus doesn't really call me to anything, or so we think. But this is a baby that's born to rule and born to be the best kind of king. In fact, born to be the kind of king who would die for those who reject him, like us. We've got two headlines. This baby is God. This baby is king. But the bit of news that's most unexpected to Mary in her story is not who the baby is going to be. Her question is, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And that's our third headline. Headline three, the baby is born to a virgin. Mary may be young. She's young. She may have lived 2,000 years ago, but everybody in the story gets that this is impossible. Virgins do not have babies. They don't get pregnant. It's impossible. This was not Joseph's biological child, or any other man's child, for that matter. Please be assured that if it sounds far-fetched to you, it sounded just as far-fetched to every single person who originally heard it as well. And we saw that in the readings, didn't we? Like, Mary heard it and she had questions. She was like, how can this be possible? Joseph heard it and wanted a divorce because he assumed that Mary had been unfaithful. No one in the story is gullible. That's not what's going on here. Don't believe everything you hear, but do believe this. This baby is all God's doing. This baby is unique. He's God, he's king. He's born by divine miracle, not by natural conception. Which is important for a lot of reasons, but for one, it means this. It means humanity needed something desperately that it would never be able to provide for itself, and God had to do it. He had to step in. God took the initiative. And here's what it tells us about Christianity. Despite what you may think, Christianity is not about us reaching up to God, whether that's by our achievements, or our good work, or our charity, or our morality. It's not about any of those things. It's about him making the first move, him stepping in, coming to the rescue, and coming to restore us. We couldn't do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. No amount of money, no amount of education, no amount of rules, no amount of lack of rules can ever give us the flourishing that we were made for, that we were created for. We needed him to step in. Well, now, have you ever experienced Christmas with a toddler? Pretty funny Christmases. There are some things toddlers can't do. They just can't do. And they'll be stubborn and think they can do. Like pull a Christmas cracker, for example. Most toddlers can't do it. If you ever tried, you know, either they just don't know how it works, how the whole tradition works, or they haven't got the grip to hold onto it, or they haven't got the strength to pull it properly. You kind of just end up pulling them out of the chair, which is a bit awkward. What they need, what they want, is inside the cracker. They want the hat that everybody's got. They want the toy that they see everybody else has as well. But they can't get to it. They don't have the strength to do it themselves. What they need is for mum or dad or someone else to step in and really to do it for them, to pull the cracker for them. And yet they're stubborn. They'll try and do it themselves. And we're just like that. We're like stubborn toddlers. We think we can sort ourselves out, don't we? We think we can sort our world out ourselves, or our nation out ourselves, or our families or ourselves out ourselves. But reality is that most of the time we don't even know what our problem is, let alone have the strength to deal with our problems ourselves. We want to live independent of God. We want to relate to him on our own terms. And yet we completely miss out on what we were created for. The life and relationship that he has for us. What we so desperately need is for him to step in. We need God to do it for us. And that's why the virgin birth. We've seen three headlines this evening. That the baby's God, the baby's king, and the baby's born to a virgin. And it could be that you know all that. That you've heard that year after year at Christmas time. That you were, I don't know, Joseph or an angel or a little flame in the nativity when you were five. Like, you know all this. Maybe that's gone over your head. Maybe this year is different for you, though. Maybe, like the shepherds, this news is completely unexpected for you. And you're surprised that it relates to you personally. Like, who, me? And yet, like them, you want to investigate. You want to know more. Maybe, to be honest, like Herod, you can't bear the thought of Jesus ruling your life. Like, there's nothing you would hate more. Or maybe, like Mary, maybe this news troubled you at first. Maybe, to be honest, you've still got lots of questions. But you recognize that if this news is true, if this is real, then this is unexpected news that we need to respond to. Maybe you see tonight that this is not just unexpected news, but unexpectedly good news.